Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do you have in mind on this Saints' Triumphant Sunday? I suspect for many of us, when asked that question, a name comes from the very list of the recently departed that was read just from the previous, before the previous hymn from the worship folder. But for some of us may have in our memories this day, in our minds right now, fellow Christians who have had an impact, have a shadow on our lives and on our faith from many, many years ago. Whichever is the case. You ever wonder what it's like for them right now? What the wait for Judgment Day in the presence of Jesus is like for those who have already gone to heaven in faith before us. There are a lot of details we are given about end-of-life realities and heaven-related interests that linger in our minds and our hearts. But there is so very much more that we would like to know, to prefer to know, that we desire to know, and we don't. The verses chosen for us to read from the Gospel of St. John this morning on this Saints' Triumphant Sunday give us some very straightforward, clear information. Information that our souls crave. So let's read those verses again together now to drive those truths deeper into our hearts. Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. The Gospel. I really do try, as I suspect you also try, to listen to Jesus and follow His direction. But on this one, I have to admit, I struggle every single time I read these verses, even though He tells me not to be, I am amazed. How about you? These details are phenomenal. There is an official answer here regarding life after death and what will be happening. We're even given complete certainty in these verses as to who is going to decide the issues of eternity regarding every last one of us. You and I are to hear the authority and the endorsement of Jesus in these verses from the Father Himself. Notice in these verses how it's pointed out that the Father has life in Himself, and He has granted that to the Son to also have life in Himself. But then The one who will judge will be the one who is the Son of Man. That brings everything about the identity of Jesus into a singular passage in regard to the certainty that he is true God, triune God, creator, eternal God forever, who has now taken on himself the reality of a human existence, human flesh, human soul, human mind, human reality in every way. And it connects him to the prophecies of the Old Testament, especially the prophecy of Daniel, in which he is referenced as the Son of Man. That was the preferred designation that Jesus used for himself during his ministry, so that those who knew and remembered what the Old Testament had called the Messiah would understand that he was identifying himself as the one, the only one, who can stand between humanity and an angry, judging God and bridge that gap and make that difference. And yet here, it would appear that the way we have lived out our lives will make a lot of difference. Every single person who has ever lived and died will come to life again at the sound of Jesus' voice, we're told. Whether they believed in Jesus or not, they will rise. As everyone will be raised. But the way we've lived our lives will make a lot of difference. At first glance, it may seem that the way we have lived will be the thing that will determine whether we will rise to glory and eternal life or rise to punishment. But think on that a bit longer, on what you know the Scriptures have told you, and journey with me into some of those Scriptures to contemplate what's actually being told us here. Clearly, we are told consistently throughout the Bible that no one is good, that no one is deserving of eternal life, and no one can earn their way into God's good graces by anything that they do. In fact, King David in Psalm 51 makes it clear that he was born in sin. And then he takes it even a step further by being even more specific and says, "In sin my mother conceived me." So how then? Do we sync up the words of Jesus in verses like this in John 5 with all of that? It's actually pretty simple. Compare it to Jesus speaking of the end things in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24 and 25. That's from the last days, the last week of Jesus' life in his teaching sessions. Remember there how he paints a picture of the final judgment being like a shepherd dividing his sheep from his goats, believers from unbelievers. He makes it clear there that the doing good referenced here and credited to the one doing it is actually a response of faith. He tells us there, in answer to the question of those who have been assessed with having done good things for Jesus, whatever you have done for the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me. That's Jesus' answer to all those who have been credited with clothing Jesus and feeding Jesus and attending to Jesus when he was sick and visiting Jesus in prison. Jesus is saying exactly the same thing here. Behavior demonstrates faith. Those who have Jesus living in their hearts, those who know Jesus' rule, his reign, not just as something off in the future, but is now a reality in their day-to-day decision-making, their words, their actions, their attitudes. There will be evidence of faith living in their hearts, and they will have no doubt that they will be rising at the voice of Jesus to eternity, to glory. Those whose lives now in this world present absolutely no evidence of any faith in Jesus by their priorities or their morality, they will provide ample evidence the proof needed to be sentenced by God to eternal punishment. That's pretty blunt. The world in which we live does not like to hear blunt. It likes softened, edged truth, if you can even call it that. That's not the way God operates. God realizes in his presentation of his word, in his presentation of his son, that there are only two options for every human life and every human soul. And so he comes at us with clear certainty, a complete knowledge, amazing truth. And he tells us that it's all about faith. The amazing truth stated here in John 5, offering us complete knowledge, keeps things very, very simple. The difference between anyone looking at Judgment Day with fear, uncertainty, anger, doubt, regret, or anticipating and longing for Judgment Day with hope, with faith, with certainty, freedom, and joy is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as everything the Word has presented him to be. And even more importantly, more specifically, that Jesus is every answer from God for every question that plagues our minds and our hearts regarding sin and guilt and life and death and life after death. Jesus has presented us with his righteousness as a gift. He's covered us in his perfection through his living and his dying and his rising. He's made it possible for every single human being to stand before God, approved to live with him forever. It is everything we need to know. And even though Jesus encourages us in these verses not to be amazed, his grace and his love, his unconditional commitment to us will always be totally amazing. Amazing enough to build every moment of our lives around, every hope that we have, every interest that we endeavor in our lives, shaping it around the reality of being bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is amazing enough to dedicate hours upon hours, week after week, and joining together with fellow believers to sing our Savior's praises, to confess the work that he has done, the forgiveness and the eternal life that is ours, to join together in feeding ourselves and washing ourselves in bath and meal. Amazing enough to draw us into daily time spent devotionally, meditating on the truths of our God and applying them to our lives, shaping our lives in every aspect. Amazing enough to have certainty of life's biggest questions so that when others cross our paths, others laboring under guilt and uncertainty, others doubting and misguided, asking us the reason for the hope that we have, that we have clear, certain truth that will offer them complete knowledge in their Savior as well. Amazing enough that you and I will also have opportunity to see once again every last triumphant saint who has gone to glory before us and spend eternity with them in the presence of our Savior God, worshiping him, knowing his love, knowing the fulfilled and complete purpose of his creating us and saving us and making a place for us to be with him forever. In the last hours of his life, he promised that he's gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. And if he's done that, he certainly will come back to take us to be with him where he is. Jesus, we are amazed at the clear, eternal truth, the complete knowledge that you give us in your word, and the difference that it makes for us every day, forever. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.